It's good to see a bigger crowd here today as we're starting to open up Sunday school a little bit, children's ministry. And there are still a few empty rows, so if you're at home watching and not sure if there's room for you, there is room, and if not, we will make room. So appreciate you being here in person, appreciate those who are still watching online. So we're in a series right now called New Life with Christ, and the idea is to just think about how we have life in Christ. And if you think about when Jesus said that he came that we might have life and have it abundantly or have it to the full, we want to just look at what's that really look like in everyday life. And I think for some churches, they might lean a little bit more toward, oh, well, that means you're probably going to be the CEO of your company and you're going to be rich and everything's going to go awesome for you and your kids are going to be healthy and everything's, you know, you're not going to have any suffering. And that's not really how we roll, and that's not the example that we see with Jesus or with the disciples. What we see is that people live some really hard lives and a lot of suffering. Paul, even a lot of the books he wrote were written from prison. And yet you see that they have joy and they're experiencing God in the midst of the trials of life. And as we look at this topic, that's kind of what we're looking for. Is it's like, okay, how do you have that? Like, where you can actually have joy even when life is life. You know, life is throwing all its normal stuff at us. So we're looking at that. We're going through the book of Colossians as we do that. Sometimes we're looking at a section of scripture from Colossians, sometimes maybe just a couple of words. But we're looking at Colossians, focusing in on that particular book as we look at four different areas of how we find life in God. So there are two lives and two loves, those four different areas. So if you think of eternal life, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you become a Christian. And that's when we get eternal life, when we enter into his family, when we enter into his kingdom. And we find life, obviously, when we put our trust in Jesus. But also, it's a life-giving thing for us to help other people to experience that. And then, of course, that starts this journey of living in God's kingdom, of being a part of his family, of being in a relationship with God. And so that's going to be the last part of our series as we talk about the kingdom life or the new life that we have in relationship with Jesus. And then we have our two loves, our relationship with God. So we did 4 weeks on that, and we're finishing up 4 weeks right now on our relationship with one another. And so we experience life as we're loved by people, and of course we experience life as we serve, as we give, as we reach out and love other people. Both those are life-giving, receiving and giving, helping other people. And so we're going to be focusing in on that today. Yeah, let's just pray and just ask God to really use this time here today. So Lord, we lift up this morning to you, pray that you would bless it. Pray for this message and really for all the messages that we have here at church, God, that you would speak to us. And we don't want to just hear some philosophical, theological information, but we really want to be changed. We want to walk out of here somehow a little bit different than when we came in, that we would be thinking differently, that we would be loving differently, that we'd be more aligned with you. And we recognize that that's not something that happens by some skillfully prepared message or amazing delivery or something like that, but it's based in our connection with you. God, we need to hear from you. We need your spirit to be at work in us. And so we just humbly come before you and just ask you to be at work, to change us, to stir us, God, to make a difference in our lives here this morning. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So the first thing that we're going to focus on here is just this idea that there's a special love among God's people, or at least there should be, theoretically. And I want to read Colossians 2, verses 1 and 2. And it starts off, and he says, I want you to know how much I've agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself, So the beginning part there in verse 1, he talks about how he's agonized for this church at Colossae and also for the church at Laodicea and also for other people. You get a little picture there, just his heart for people, his love for people, how he genuinely cares about people. And I'm not saying this is the point of this passage. I don't think it is. But I just want to focus in on those two words, knit together. He says, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by the strong ties of love. And I think he's just kind of saying this in passing, but I think it gives us a little snapshot into the type of relationship that is ideal in God's family, in God's church, that we would be knit together. Years ago, when I first got involved with this group of churches, I went to school at Ames, Iowa, Iowa State University, and I started going to a church there, and they were weird. They were a bunch of weird people, and they called each other brother and sister all the time. Like, doctrinally, it wasn't super weird for me. I grew up conservative Baptist, so doctrinally, it was pretty close to what I was used to, but, like, just they called each other brother and sister, and, like, instead of saying good luck, they would say good grace, and they would talk about being knit together. And, like, if somebody new was in the church, they'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, this new guy's in the church, and he's not really knit into our group yet. I'd be like, what are you talking about, you know? It's just this strange thing, and I don't know if I finally figured it out or somebody pointed this verse out to me, but there's this idea of God's people being knit together, that there are these close relationships where our lives are intertwined, where we're touching each other's lives. And I don't know, it's maybe the different strengths that we have and our weaknesses and this idea of that we need each other, that we support one another, that together we make something beautiful. I don't know, a scarf or a hat or something. It's just this weird picture of kind of this beautiful connection that should be happening with one another. And so I want to talk about that a little bit more, but since I'm just focusing on two words, I don't want you to think, oh, he's just way blowing these out of proportion. But I want to look at some other verses in the New Testament and just see if we get this same idea of this relationship that we should have with one another. So in John 13:34, Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. And the idea of love your neighbor as yourself is part of the great commandment. And that's different. That's not a new command. Loving your neighbor as yourself, that's something that was around since back in Deuteronomy. So he's talking about something different here. And I think what's different is this connection that we have with one another. I think he's looking at his disciples. He's saying, hey, guys, a new commandment I have for you. Love one another as I've loved you guys. And it's more of this special love that the believers have for one another. Not just a neighborly love, which should also be at a very high level. But even beyond that, the love that Jesus showed for them. It's like, wow, that's incredible. In verse 35, it's just mind-blowing. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And think about how that might play out if someone were to come into church and just watch us interact with one another, talk to each other. Maybe they might see people praying together or hear how people are serving each other and things. And imagine that being at such a level that they walk out of here and they're like, wow, you know, I don't know what I think about God, and I don't know what I think about the Bible, but when I see those guys, I can tell there's something different. These guys are true followers of Jesus. If they were just touched in some really dramatic way like that, it's like, wow, that'd be so cool. I think as a church, I think we are really special. I think we do have a very special connection with one another. I think if an outsider came in, they would have an impression of, wow, these guys are really cool. They like to hang out together. They care about each other. There's something special here. But obviously, it's something we could always grow in, that we would be at such an extreme level that just an outsider would look at it and be like, wow, that's really, really cool. So that's what Jesus said on the topic. Philippians 2, verses 1 and 2. This might be my favorite couple of verses on this topic in Scripture. It's Paul writing, and he says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. And whenever I read this, I think of just, as a dad, like, being around my kids, and kind of like, you know, come on, guys. You know, we're trying to raise you and go down this path, and it's like, if you have any heart to follow me and mom, then just try to get along, you know? It's like at the very bare minimum. And that's what I sense from this, kind of like if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if being a Christian has meant anything to you, or if you've been comforted at all from God, if you even have a little bit of the Spirit, if you're just a little bit tender or a little bit compassionate, then be united and love each other. And that should be the spirit of the people of God. So one of the reasons I think 2020 was just so hard is just, it's just gross. Just watching stuff on Facebook and even coronavirus, which isn't, I don't know, it seems like it shouldn't be a particularly divisive topic, but just, you know, people having such strong opinions one way or the other, and some of our grown kids that have roommates, oh, it's so hard for them, because, you know, they go out to work, and people have different opinions, and come home, and do you have to wear a mask at home, or do you not have to wear a mask at home, and these roommates are having a hard time getting along with each other, and deciding what's right, and you kind of get that sense of like, oh, come on, guys. You know, just love each other. Just love each other. Romans 4:4 says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. Let's stop there. So it's saying each of us has a physical body with many parts to that body, many members. We have arms and legs and noses and brains and hearts. It says, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. So, in Jesus Christ, we're individuals, like the different body parts, but we make up one body, and each part of that body belongs to all the others, because they're not individual, right? They're all working together. And so there's this aspect at which God's people, God's church family, is this body working together, and they're not independent, right? They're interdependent. They're dependent upon one another. And so there's this beautiful relationship that should go on. I would make an argument that this verse is probably referring to a local church, not the church universal. Because I don't know that we could argue that this level of unity occurs at this grand scheme. Obviously, there is a special connection that we have with any other believer. But you really see unity and the body working together in a local expression of that. And so it seems like wow, there's this cool connection that we should have in God, as God uses us together to bless each other, to encourage each other, to challenge one another, to spur one another on. And this should be an expression. And we should just recognize that it's not something that we can just, yeah, that's not important to me. Because it's Christ's body. And it's important to him. Okay, let's go back to those two words, the knit together. So knit together, when I think about what that might look like practically, first thing that comes to mind is maybe thinking about like Acts chapters 2 and 4 and how the early church, they ate together, they shared their faith, they had communion together. It seemed like they met together all the time. If people were in need, they gave money. There's people that were selling things and bringing all the money to the disciples' feet. I mean, a really extreme level of unity there. And so that's what first comes to my mind. And then I think about just how I've seen that expressed more just in churches that I've been in small groups. So let me just give you an illustration. So a few years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, we had a small group, and it was an amazing group. And it was so much fun. We really enjoyed one another, and we would get together and have a meal together before our Bible study portion of the meeting. And we would just talk about, you know, what was going on in people's lives, you know, people's sick family members, people's job struggles, just all kinds of different things. And then we'd have our Bible study, and we are going through just some of the shorter books in the New Testament. It's really, really rich. We had people who were new Christians who were just really excited about God. And even though they were young Christians, they just had the Spirit, and you could tell. And they were bringing things to the group. It's like, oh, wow, that's really good. I haven't thought of it that way. And then we had these more seasoned Christians who had a lot of experience and wisdom. And we had these amazing discussions. And we had a guy who was not native to the U.S., and so he had a different perspective. And, you know, just all of this was working together. We'd have these amazing discussions, and we would pray for each other and care for each other. And then even outside of a small group, you saw all these cool things happening. Like, I think of some people who were going out on their own, not directed by leadership or anything, but just on their own were going out and, like, spending their lunch break reaching out and, like, going out and knocking on doors and trying to invite people to church or trying to share the message of Jesus with people and doing these amazing things. And other people just, I remember driving by someone's house one time and these, I can't remember, it was four or six adults from our small group were there all on bikes and they were all getting ready to go bike riding together. And again, no one in leadership like organized that. That was just people hanging out together, just loving each other. And it's just so beautiful. It's such a fun small group. So I want to demonstrate that. I was going to demonstrate knitting, but I don't know how to knit at all. And so I did make this fine little woven paper placemat for you guys. And yeah, it's kind of cool. So I think there's roughly 20 strips of paper on this. We had about 20 people in our small group. So if you can just think of each strip of paper as representing one person. And you can see how it all kind of fits together and like all our lives were intertwined and it was a blessing. It was just, sorry, I never know when I'm going to get choked up. It was a blessing, and it was just a sweet group to be on. And there's something beautiful about it, and yet it's not perfect. It's a little messy if you could look at it close up. And as I was putting it together, I'm like, oh, I wonder if Lindsay's going to call me up and be like, oh, Steve, next time you do artwork, you should, you know, consult me first, and let's talk about colors and stuff. And so it's not perfect, but it's still kind of sweet, right? So yeah, we had this group, and the rest of the story here, I'm not going to, some of these stories will be true, and some of them I'll just make up from other life experiences, so that just kind of to protect people's anonymity. Is that a word, or is that a sea creature? Okay, so we have this little group. Everything's going great. Everything's wonderful. I think we're all genuinely enjoying it, and it's really cool. And then two people get into a disagreement, and it's really, really hard, and one person is just kind of snarky and just kind of blah, just kind of like, well, this is what's on my heart, and blah. And they didn't leave, but they kind of, oh, I don't know, maybe they kind of left in their heart that day. So they tried to work it out, but it was a little bit rough. So I'm just going to take them kind of partway off. And then, you know, there's some people who, it's hard to know what's really going on, but they said that they really had a hard time with the music at church and just kind of the style of worship. And it's kind of a, hey, you know, we love you guys and, we appreciate you. But we're going to go try to find a place where we can worship and just be a little more connected that way. And so, They left, and you know, I can really appreciate how hard that would be, because if I went to a church and they started playing country music, I don't know if I could hang out. That would be pretty rough, because I love Jesus. You know the song, God gave rock and roll to you, not country. So, all right. So, okay. So, yeah, so they left. And that's hard. You know, every time somebody left, it's hard. But you want to give people some grace and, you know, hey, I can appreciate that. And there's some people who had some doctrinal differences. And they just had some differences about beliefs related to eternal security, about whether or not you can lose your salvation. And they didn't bring that to the group in the greatest way. I'm not going to go into that, but they kind of came back and they apologized for that. And we met together a few times and tried to work through some of those differences. And but that didn't really work out very well. Again, you know, I can kind of appreciate, boy, if you went to a church and you thought some of the stuff they were teaching was wrong, or maybe even heretical, then you might leave and you might even, you know, talk to other people about it and say, hey, you know, what these guys are teaching is wrong. And so I can appreciate how hard that would be. But yeah, it was still really painful. And then, then there were some people that just left. And I still don't know why. It's like, I don't know, they just said, hey, we're leaving, and it's for a good reason. And I know the people really well and love them, just like everybody else on the group. But I don't know why they left. And I hope someday I'll find out, but I don't know. And then, then someone got their feelings hurt. And they were just kind of offended by something that was said by somebody else in the group. And they left. This is a lot like kind of real life, where it's hard to take one out without damaging the others. In one way that's healthy, right? Because we truly love each other, and so you don't lose somebody without it hurting a little bit. There were some new people that came, so I'm going to put them back in. I feel all shaky because I'm trying to go fast, I think, and this is kind of an awkward little process. Okay. Oh, what else? That's a pretty good start. Someone had sin. Someone was struggling with sin. I was hoping that maybe the church would just be able to help him through it, you know, but I guess it was just kind of shameful, and I can appreciate that too. All of these I can appreciate. It's like, wow, yeah, I could see wanting a fresh start. These people that joined in, I think they kind of felt like, I don't know, like maybe they never quite fit or something. And I can appreciate that because all the people that are left are probably kind of hurt and not necessarily ready to get hurt again. So yeah, they left too. And I could go on, but you probably get the point. Kathleen, on the way here, she saw that I was making something. She goes, I want that when you're done. Because I can tell that it's something special. So, I'm not sure you're going to want it when I'm done. But sorry. It is truly hard for me. It's kind of a picture of some of the pain and loss I've gone through in the last couple of years. But it was so beautiful, it was so sweet, and I hope to get that again. And that's hard. Nobody on that group wanted this. We all love that group, every one of us. And yet you can look at each individual situation and be like, oh, yeah, I can see how that happened. And you want to give freedom to be like, well, hey, you know, do however God leads. But we've got to understand if we don't have this some level of commitment and unity, then this is where we end up, and nobody wants this. So I think I probably made my point for the morning, but let's just go over a few verses real quick here. Acts 2:42. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, the breaking of bread and the prayer. The way I just read it was the old NIV. This is the new NIV. It does not use the word the. You'll see it both ways in different translations. Was their emphasis on being devoted to each other or being devoted just to hanging out with people? I think it was more probably to each other. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. If you can think of someone wanting marriage advice, they're going through a hard time, one of the first things I would encourage any couple, not just a young couple, but you have to take divorce off the table. You just have to be like, okay, I'm here. We're going to work through this. And I'm not saying never, ever, 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 ever would that be an option. But I'm just saying if you're trying to save the marriage, you can't kind of have one foot out the door. And same thing in a small group or in a church. If we're like, well, as soon as my feelings get hurt, I'm going to go find a different church. Well, then you end up like this, or maybe worse. And yet, that's kind of the church in America, I think. And by all means, I don't want to judge anyone who came from a different church. I don't want to judge anyone who's gone through a divorce. But both of those things are terribly hurtful. I'm just saying, in our minds, we have to have this concept of we're committed to one another. We are committed to one another, and we will be committed to one another, or we'll end up like this, and nobody wants this. We all want deep, close, meaningful relationships. But to get those, we have to work really hard at getting along with one another. And I think part of that is not just, well, hey, we're going to be committed to each other, but to realize that we're united under our Father, that we're committed to His people. Some more verses out of Colossians. Colossians 1:4 says, we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people. It's not just a love for people, but it's a love for God's people. You and I may really like each other. We may be natural friends. We may not. We may have clashing personalities. We may really irritate one another. But in one sense, it doesn't matter too much because we're God's people. And so, kind of like Paul's heart when he talked about, just make every effort to be united. We need to be united because we serve the same God. Colossians 1:24 says, now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. And so the church family is the body of Christ. Kind of like that verse we are looking at in Romans. And we're not on our own. It's not up to us to just be like, I'll just do whatever. It doesn't matter. No, it does matter. Because we're part of the same body. And so we need each other. And part of what God wants us to experience is this genuine love and devotion to one another. So one time we had a guy who, a family who was friends of ours, and they moved up to Oregon. I've told this story before, but they tried to connect with their old church, a church that they had grown up in. And there was just some dysfunction, some reasons it wasn't a great fit for them. And after about a year, they're like, this is really, really hard. And I very, very rarely would encourage someone in this. But I'm like, Daniel, maybe you should really think about switching churches. I wouldn't normally say this, but in your situation, it's kind of unique. I think you should think about going somewhere else. And he said, when would I stop? Good point. Because he knows he's not going to find a perfect church. And so he's like, I need to be committed to the place where God put me. And he didn't say much, but what he said was like, poof, like, wow, okay. I get it. That's really, really powerful. So maybe one side question is, well, then how do you not have it be a cult? That's a great question. And I think the deal would be, is this something that we're calling you to or something that God's calling you to? And I think it's something that God calls you to. And I'm not saying you have to be committed to our church no matter what. However, if you go to another church, I think you should be committed to them no matter what. In other words, you should have that commitment of, I am with these people, And we're going to work through our trials. And we're going to make this work because we need to have that heart, or we're going to end up like this. So we don't have to be that place, but I think you should find that place where you can have that type of commitment. And could there be an extreme situation where God leads you to leave? Sure, absolutely. I'm just saying that shouldn't be a default. That shouldn't be the norm. Okay, last verse there. Colossians 2:19. They're not connected to Christ, the head of the body, for he holds the whole body together with joints and ligaments, and it grows as God flourishes. And here we see this idea of the body again. Christ is the head, and we're connected to the head and not just to each other. So this is just a little bit different than the last point. The last point is be devoted to each other, but it's not just being devoted to each other, it's being devoted to Christ. Why are we united and committed to each other? Because that's what Christ wants. And I think that really helps if it's not just about, do I like this, do I not like this, and is this the best possible situation for me or not the best possible? It's just like, what does Christ want? And I think as we pursue that, then that's really life-giving. So just big picture, I want to just encourage us to pursue. I was going to make two of these so I could show you a good one at the end, pursue this, but these are a lot harder than I remembered from first grade. So kind of pursue the perfect picture of this. Pursue, like, we're going to have something special together. Let's invest in that and pursue that. And then we have something really life-giving that's attractive, that's beautiful, that's ministering to us. We're finding life, and then we have life to offer our world as well. So let's pray. Hey God, we just thank you for this time here, and just thank you that we do have all these wonderful relationships. I thank you even, I hate crying in front of people. I guess I just hate crying in general, but thank you that just we have relationships that are meaningful enough that it hurts when people leave, and it hurts when we don't have the same relationship we used to have. And so I pray, God, you would help us just to be able to pursue a healthy level of commitment to one another and commitment to you, and that would be expressed in a really beautiful way in your church body here locally in this particular church. And so we just ask for you to be at work in us as we process these things and try to apply them to our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name.